ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Q1 FY18 earnings conference call of CL Educate Limited, hosted by 4S Services. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal the operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Lokesh Bhati from 4S Services. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. It is a pleasure to welcome you all to CL Educate's Q1 FY18 earnings conference call. We have with us Mr. Satyanarayanan R, Chairman and Executive Director, Mr. Gautam Puri, Vice Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Nikhil Mahajan, Executive Director and Group CEO, Enterprise Business, and Mr. Sudhir Bhargava, CFO. The management will open the call with quarterly update, followed by a short business overview and touch upon the future growth strategy for the company. After the opening remarks, we'll open the call for questions. Before we begin, please note that some statement in today's call may be forward-looking and the actual results may be materially different from these forward-looking statements. The information provided on the call is as of today and the company undertakes no obligation to update that information subsequently. I will now hand over the call to Satya for his opening remarks.
Hi, thank you, Lokesh. Thank you, everyone. Welcome to the Q1 results call. Right at the outset, I have one specific task for today, which is to introduce Sudhir Bhargava, our new CFO, who has joined the company post-IPO, post our last quarter call. And this is a very welcome news for us. Sudhir comes from over two decades of experience in consulting and finance, worked with very prestigious organizations, and Sudhir's last assignment was more than a decade. He has seen the emergence of InfoEdge from a fledgling entrepreneurial entity into one of the respected listed companies. And the wonderful thing is that he joined InfoEdge just before they went IPO and has been with them for over the last 10 years. So we believe that the strengths and the experience that Sudhir brings to this team is going to be invaluable. And the second good news in that is that Nikhil has been doing not just a business role but a CFO's role, and from there he moves in as a full-time Group CEO for our enterprise business, so that also should augur well for our growth over the coming quarters. So welcome Sudhir to the team, and with permission of everyone else, I will move into my presentation. I will cover the main points of Q1, and the points that I'm covering are all there between slides 4 and slide 10. On the updated Q1 investor presentation, which you can find on our website, which is www.careercleducate.com. I'm sure some of you are attending this call for the first time, so just to give you a little bit of a quick introduction, our core businesses, they consist of two verticals. One is the consumer business vertical, which is headed by Gautam Puri, and the second is the enterprise business, which is headed by Nikhil Mahajan. Both of them have been with the company since late 90s. GP joined me in 96, and Nikhil has been with us since 1998. Consumer business segment, as you would know, consists of test prep and training under CL or Career Launcher brand name. It also includes Ethan, which has come to us from Pearson a quarter and a half ago, and also includes the GK Publications brand. Under the enterprise segment, on the other hand, we offer services to corporates, universities, and institutions under the brands of Keystone or Akendre or CL Media. Coming to this year, we have started on a positive note with certain achievements in our consumer and enterprise business segments, as well as on an overall organization level. As you are aware, Indas and GST got implemented in this quarter, both of which had an impact on our business, and you will hear us talk more about that as we go deeper into the presentation. While our business has grown in this quarter, the transition to the new IND AS accounting standards resulted in subdued revenue growth. The deferred revenue due to the new standards has gone up by 5 crores, which would all translate into profits in the subsequent quarters. The second thing is that even among our corporate clients, the GST implementation had made an impact on the marketing spends, which were kind of held back, slowed down over this quarter. We expect that to get better as GST stabilizes. And even as an entity, we know what we are going through in GST. We are assuming that such is the case with most organizations. We see it improving as GST settles down. Now, getting a little into the business specific consumer segment, our test prep billings have grown by 19% in this quarter. And while that has happened in the core businesses, the benefits from adding more centers and more students to the E10 VSAT-enabled model should get better as we move into the coming three quarters. The season for civil services and some of those businesses, they have just about begun to kick in. GP will cover that more, and if there are more specific questions, we will pick that up. On the other hand, our research business, though very small as of now, continues to grow non-linear. We don't want to reach too much into the trajectory. However, what it validates for us in a very healthy way is our strategy to have acquired the Akendre stake fully. As you would aware, or I can help you recall, we were a 51% shareholder at the end of IPO in the month of March, but we have moved up and converted that into a 100% sub in the last quarter. In this quarter, we also increased our strategic investment in 361 Degree Minds, as you would have tracked it over the last few weeks, that add immense synergies in our high-margin services, products, businesses through the B2B2C format. As you know, 2/3 of our revenue mix is from the consumers and 1/3 comes from the enterprise segment. The inclusion of E10, the inclusion of our multi-channel delivery model, which is offline, online, digital, and VSAT-enabled things, it helps us nice growth trajectory as we look into the next few quarters with the broadened product portfolio and increased geographical penetration. Further, we do look at rationalizing our businesses and therefore our balance sheet. Many of you are aware that we had divested in the K-12 business prior to Q1, and we are actively working on concluding the sale of the real estate and release of that cash. As you know, liquidation of assets can be a little time-consuming. That's what we are going through, but we are very, very focused on closing some of those transactions in this financial year itself. Similarly, on the liability side, the IPO proceeds have helped us reduce the long-term debt. If there are any specific questions, Sudhir or Nikhil can take us through that. That's the broad overview that I wanted to cover. I would now request GP to brief all of us about the consumer business segment. GP?
Yeah, thank you, Satya. Okay, before I start, let me just highlight that the point that I am covering will be covered in the slides 5 and 6 of the presentation. Okay, so let me start with an update on the consumer business. In this segment, we are focusing on, as Satya rightly pointed out, on the direct interaction with customers, which means through courier also, we are focusing on the face-to-face delivery, direct physical delivery. We are also in complete online delivery of programs which are delivered to VIP. And to E10, we are looking at VSAT delivered education, where the class is being from a classroom or a studio, and students at the other end receive it through a VSAT. And that's the second part. And third component of our consumer business is the GK publishing, which is into books and books for competitive exams. And we have a wide range of competitive exams that we cover. So let me start with the presentation on this part. In Q1, just an update, growth has been good in our traditional products. In MBA, billing grew by about 25%, while in law, it went up by 15%. Partly it was, increase in billing, increase in pricing, and then mostly it was increase in numbers. Yeah. Overall, operating revenue has grown up by about 13% in this quarter. And as Satya mentioned, the new accounting standard in the adoption has meant deferment of revenue. So while the billing has happened, a part of it has been deferred, which normally would have accrued in this quarter itself. And but that doesn't matter, frankly, because at the end of the year, it will still accrue to us. And this means that the subsequent quarters will look better as we go along. So today in Career Launcher, we have probably the best portfolio available to any coaching institute or organizational institute to coaching and test it. We have a portfolio of 12 product groups, 196 offline centers, and after in the 196, we have a little 162 centers to be precise, which are E10 based centers, okay, which means the classes happen through VSAT. In line with our basic strategy of being asset-light and banking on entrepreneurs, out of these roughly 196 centers, less than one-fourth are run by ourselves, which uses 46 centers we run ourselves in the major metros and the key cities, while the remaining 150-odd centers are run by business partners or franchisees, as a common language word. The integration of E10, which we acquired in 2017, is not complete, but it is almost there. We are almost there in terms of integration. The challenge still is in terms of setting up more centers. While we have doubled the number of centers, actually more than doubled, because when we took over E10, we had only 25 centers with us. That we have more than doubled to about 62 centers. And this is from our point of view, E10 is something which can easily take us to the next level of cities. The biggest challenge that we face in our business in the physical face-to-face delivery model is availability of good facility in smaller towns and cities. Now, E10 is something which allows us to take care of it. It is our growth driver. It helps us to scale. So while as Career Launcher, the physical face-to-face center, we had a kind of a limit of about 180, 200 centers where we could have gone to at best. With E10, we can easily look at 3 times that number in the longer term, because Tier 3, Tier 4 cities, all of them become available to us through this network. It takes care of the biggest headache of any test prep or a teaching or a training institute, which is standardizing delivery in smaller towns and cities. And the other advantage of E10 is that unlike the physical classroom center where you need a certain minimum size in each of the verticals, in each of the programs, in case of E10, that number goes down significantly. Because if you are delivering a particular class in 50 centers simultaneously, and each of the centers are only 10 to 15 students, cumulatively that still becomes more than 5,500 students. So economies of scale starts to kick in once we have a large number of centers of E10, and which is why the challenge that we are looking at ourselves, putting out ourselves, is to increase the number of centers of E10 from 62 to a significantly higher level. Some of the synergy between E10 and Career Launcher will also help us in GK publication. For example, in GK publication, many of the content is the source from Career Launcher, and similarly, some of the GK publication content is used by career launcher centers for passing their program. So that's the second part of synergy between GK publishing and career launcher. So one part of synergy was between E10 and career launcher, second is career launcher and GK publication. So GK publication grew by about 16% in the last quarter, and from our point of view, we continue to adopt the same growth strategy going forward. The product portfolio is by and large there. Yes, there can always be a few additions, but by and large we are there with respect to the product portfolio. We have to deepen the channel and we have to spread it geographically, which means in the same city we'll have to look at multiple partners or multiple programs being delivered by different people and do through different channels, whether it's a physical face-to-face career launcher center and whether it's an E10 center. In the bigger towns and cities, career launcher and E10 centers will exist side by side, which means career launcher center is growing its own business, E10 center is catering to another segment. While it is possible that in the entire four cities, an E10 and a career launcher center could be combined to give it the financial viability which it needs. So in addition to all this, apart from E10, as some of you may be aware already, we are also running our own online program. So the same program which available in the physical mode for MBA and law, for example, and bank SSC, they are also available in the VOIP mode, where classes are delivered through VOIP. And some of these programs are also delivered through E10. So the idea is that irrespective of which channel a student prefers, we should be available to the student. And essentially this is what I would say in terms of the desperate part. And E10 is a key accelerator for us, or it's a growth driver for us, to help us in expanding the reach geographically. And also it helps us in cutting down costs, and because the economies of scale which E10 can bring, a physical face-to-face center cannot bring. In addition to our existing products, as has been announced earlier already, we are looking at acquiring a majority stake in GATE Coaching, one of the most important segments from an engineering college perspective. GATE has been on our radar for quite some time, and now we are in the process of acquiring a majority stake in this business also, and we will keep you updated as and when it is done. So I'll stop here and hand over to Nikhil for a brief on the enterprise business, and I'll be available for questions at the end of the presentation. Yeah, Nikhil, over to you.
Yeah, thanks, Gautam. I'll basically summarize the performance of the enterprise business, which includes the corporate business, the institutional business, including media, the research initiative. As you are aware and outlined by Satya also, at the beginning of the first quarter, we had increased our stake in the research company, which we had acquired in 2016, to 100%. Last year was the first full year, and we had signed up 6 new clients. The good thing is about the acceptance of that product, we have seen all the 6 clients renew their old contracts for their second batch. Basically, what this would mean is that the existing clients, the revenue which we achieved last year, would automatically more or less double, barring some discounts, etc., which might accrue. We are also adding some extremely premium clients like few IITs and maybe a couple of IIMs to our portfolio, which would materialize during the course of this year. Now, for our institutional business, the number of universities who were our customers at the end of quarter one has doubled from 14 to 28. And we will continue to add newer customers or renew or expand relationship with existing university customers during the course of the remaining period. The number of corporates, basically with whom we work, has increased from 36 to 45 during the course of first quarter. As outlined by Satya, Q1, especially the month of June, was a slightly subdued quarter because most corporates slashed down or deferred their marketing spends due to uncertainty about GST, with a lot of activities both in the service sector as well as in the manufacturing not being sure how it will roll out, and hence the production and the rollout of new products eventually have got deferred to Q2 in many customers. One more point, in the institutional customer space, this year the admission cycle was slightly delayed. One, due to initially the medical colleges, the NEET results getting delayed, and subsequently the delay in the IIT exam result, which basically resulted in the overall admission cycle running approximately 1 month behind schedule. So when most colleges usually used to reopen with the new sessions by mid-July, this year most of the colleges have opened towards mid-August or later half of August. So while Q1 might look subdued on the institutional revenues, however, the pipeline for the business in Q2 is reasonably strong, and we expect to cover up for the shortfall, small amount of shortfall of revenue in Q1. Additionally, post our additional investment of 8 crore in 361DF, of which 4 crore has already been made, the entire suite of online programs which 361DM already has, and this investment will enable it to create a suite of another 35 to 40 programs, would also now become available to our institutional as well as corporate sales teams to sell to the Indian audiences, to the Indian markets. So while the investment will not only push the business growth in 361DM, there will be incremental revenue opportunities which will come across our way with some of the products getting sold by CI teams either to the universities or to the corporates, and that should get reflected in Q3 and Q4 of this year. This is broadly in line of our overall CEO strategy to be asset light, technology enabled, and to deliver products which using technology and digital platforms are highly scalable. We have been chasing collection of government receivables. Though in Q1 the receivables did not come through, however, we are positive that in Q2 we should be able to report collection of a part of the receivable before September 30th. So we'll update you as and when that thing comes through. So this basically will now summarize, and then we will throw it open for questions. Any of you can raise any questions of that.
Hi, good evening. To just summarize, you know, Q1 saw some good test prep billings. As Nikhil mentioned, enterprise was slightly subdued. A lot of clients held back because of GST, and some of those should start to come back, have started to come back. The asset-light model focus is very much there. You know, rationalizing a balance sheet takes time, and you know, we are all collectively exploring options. As and when some of those happen, we will inform you. You know, most of the points covered, including scaling up businesses, rationalizing the balance sheet, etc. These, some are investments, some are ongoing businesses which are being scaled. So these, in my view, will take 12 to as long as 36 months to kind of help improve profits and rationalize the balance sheet. That's all from our end. We are now ready for questions that you may have.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking your question. Anyone who would like to ask a question, please press star and one at this time. The first question is from the line of Prithvi Raj from Unify Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Just a couple of questions from my side. So the first one is on your consumer and enterprise business. So what kind of growth rate can we expect in this particular year?
Yeah, this is Sudhir here. You know, I don't think we would like to mention any sort of growth rates in particular, but I think given the past record, we should be able to, you know, kind of improve on it is all I can say, given that we are adding more channels of delivery and increasing our reach, both by way of geography and products.
Okay. And sir, are we looking for any further acquisitions?
Yeah, we have been looking at, you know, companies in the space that we operate in. So either it's to do with, you know, complementary product or technology. And that is where you would expect us to be active. Satya, any other point?
Yeah, so to be very specific, since the question has come today, and I think all of us know that we have done two or three significant investments / acquisitions in the last 6 months. Chances are that we will focus to make these investments and acquisitions work for our P&L so something has to be, if something is really super attractive and extremely enticing, we might consider that. As Sudhir said, we're always open to it. Right now, to me, it looks like it's time for us to, you know, put our heads down and execute for the next 12 to 18 months.
Okay.
And Sudhir, if I can just add just a couple of lines. If we look at in the test prep domain, our portfolio, I think we are covering almost all the important segments. Yes, there are a few segments where we are not present at all. But by and large, we are covering most of the important segments from a business perspective. And with if the gate acquisition goes complete, then as Satya said, our task will be first and foremost to make sure that these acquisitions start paying off. And until unless we have some very interesting thing coming our way, something which we can see immediate benefits coming out of it, we will not be very keen on just having an acquisition for the sake of it. It has to work for us. The existing ones have to start delivering. And the new one has to be something which has to be very enticing. That's it.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashish Kumar from Indo Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, good afternoon, sir. So just needed to ask, in the tech prep, how many more centers will be opened in the year? And what are the new knowledge products that the company is targeting?
GP, you want to take that?
I can't hear the question clearly. If you could repeat, please.
GP, the question was, how many more centers do you see happening in the test prep in this?
Okay.
In this year.
See, when I look at centers, as I said, we have 196 centers at present, out of which about 60 centers are weekend centers and another 130 odd centers are the physical face-to-face delivery centers. When I look at the face-to-face color launch of centers, I don't see that growing significantly. A few centers will get added, but the biggest challenge in the face-to-face delivery centers is the economies of scale work only at a certain level, and once you go to tier 3 cities or at the end, bottom of the tier 2 cities, you'll start struggling for one good partner and profitability. So as far as the physical face-to-face delivery centers are concerned, we are by and large where we need to be. Another 20-30 could be added over the period. And then for adding more centers will be very, very difficult. But when I look at E10 is where I think we'll get a growth. So right now we had about 62 centers. We are looking at going up to about 100 odd centers. Obviously, we'll try more, but I think a realistic number would be to look at about 100 centers by the end of the financial year.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That will be all.
Thank you. Anyone who would like to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Nisha Hitendra. She's an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir, and congratulations on the top billing. My question is basically on your plan to revive the growth in your enterprise business.
Okay. See, enterprise business has been growing steadily over the last couple of years. It's only been in this quarter there has been the slight blip which has happened predominantly because of GST and uncertainty in and around that. I think with GST now reasonably well settled and as I said earlier, a reasonably strong pipeline of business in Q2. I think we are broadly on track on the goal we have internally set for the full year in terms of the enterprise business. So there is no specific action plan. The blip was a short-term GST-related blip, which I think broadly has got overcome. And on a full year basis, I think we should be broadly on the target what we have set for ourselves.
Okay. And so my other question is actually based on your top line growth expected from the 361 DM investment. What is the kind of revenue we are expecting from there?
There are two things. One, our current investment will aid the growth of revenues and the product offering of 361 DM itself. How much we are able to achieve in the second half of the year is something we'll have to see. While we will start cross-selling their products, it is still too early for us to put a number of what we can achieve in Q3 and Q4 during the course of this year. But I think the actual benefit of the product and the cross-selling into the CL ecosystem will actually be felt only during the course of next financial year. At this moment, I don't think I will be in a position to give you a specific number. Maybe three quarters down the line, I think we'll have a better hang of it.
Okay, thank you so much, sir. This is from my side.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, please press star and one if you wish to ask a question. Anyone who would like to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is a follow-up from the line of Prithvi Raj from Unify Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, just one final question. So on the CapEx side, what kind of investments are we looking for this year?
See, ours is a very services-oriented business with not too much CapEx. Our CapEx, if at all, will be in a purchase of a few servers, few laptops, and some hardware. Building, if we set up our own centers, couple of them, as Gautam said, then the CapEx related to building a center. And if, as the scale-up of the Eaton network happens, if we set up E10 facilities at our existing centers, then it could be a small investment. It costs about 3.5 lakhs per center. So I don't think the CapEx investment on the whole will be more than a couple of crores at best. So that's the kind of magnitude of CapEx we're talking about.
Okay, that's fine.
See, as you said earlier, we are trying to be asset light and our basic investment is going into IP, technology, people, and building products which are digitally deliverable in a scalable manner. and not on a brick and mortar going forward significantly.
Okay, I mean, at least, I mean, any investment in the technology side that you are looking at now?
Very routine. It will only be a couple of servers and all that, which is you buy a digital server, it costs you 10 lakh, 12 lakh, 14 lakh, that's it. Nothing more than that.
Okay, then thanks. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Anyone who would like to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Manju Bhashni from Sundaram Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening to the management team out there. A couple of questions from my end. One, the receivables that were expected from the government contract, what is the status on them? And the second one is our endeavor to sell off the fixed assets from the schools division. How far are we into the transaction? I think we had received some token advance a quarter back. And any updates on that front?
Okay, Manju, this is Nikhil. See, on the government receivables, as I said, there were no incremental collections which happened in Q1, but we are anticipating some collections over the next 4 weeks and in the subsequent quarters. So we anticipate to collect around 20 to 25% of the outstanding receivable within the current fiscal. So that's point one. On the K-12 transaction, we have concluded part A of the transaction of transferring the business and the operations of the schools effective July 1st. On the real estate bit, the money has not yet been received because of certain technicalities which the fund to which the real estate was being sold. They are in the process of sorting it out, and we hope to be able to close the transaction in a not very distant future.
I mean, if you can slightly elaborate on that, friend, sir, because I think we were fairly confident of receiving this amount.
Manju, the technicality which they have come up is something which they also have not anticipated. As I had shared earlier, we were anticipating it to have closed by middle of August or end of August latest. Unfortunately, it has taken a few weeks more for them. They are in the process of sorting that out. And we remain positive to close it. I mean, we are not in a position to tell you whether it will happen in 4 weeks or 8 weeks, but hopefully we should be able to do it very quickly.
And what is the amount that we are expected to receive from them once this issue gets resolved? What's the absolute amount?
We have to receive 44 crores before March 18th.
Okay. And on the receivables part, you made a mention of 1/4 of the receivables to be achieved by FY18.
Approximately.
And what would that amount to, sir?
Somewhere around 12 odd crores.
Okay. And any possibilities, I mean, this delay in receiving the money on the transfer of business, has it got anything to do with the valuations?
It has nothing to do with the business agreement is already done. Basically, they have an offshore fund and they are closing some paperwork with SEBI, which is pending, which they cannot. That's what they have told us, is that there's some problem with SEBI compliance for their offshore fund, and that's the reason for the delay. They were hoping to have sorted it out by June. It has unfortunately not closed.
And in case this deal gets delayed further beyond our anticipation, what is the plan B that we have in place here? Just trying to understand our thought process there.
Yeah, we will look for alternate players in the same space who purchase and lease back assets. So it might delay the process, but the direction and the thought process of closing it in the shortest possible time is very clear in our heads.
Okay. Thank you for answering these. And another one on this enterprise, you cited about the GST as one of the key reasons for the muted growth that was witnessed this time. Just trying to understand what is the likely impact for us and where is it really causing the pain?
Basically what happened was due to the uncertainty, a lot of companies delayed their marketing spends during the month of June. Because as you would be aware, most of the FMCG and even the consumer electronic companies, old stock was being cleared and very little goods were being shipped to the retail stores. So as a result, most product launches, new marketing campaigns, etc., all that started happening only towards the end of July. So that has got reflected in the new activity calendar, new activities which have begun to pick up beginning of August, and the next 3 months we are seeing a reasonably overcrowded marketing calendar for most of the corporates, and we anticipate that whatever was lost due to the 4-6 week GST blip will be more or less compensated by mid-October, end of October.
Okay, and this gets featured in your enterprise corporate business, right?
Yeah, corporate business in Keystone.
Okay, okay.
So, Manju, just emphasize one point, this is Satya here.
Yes, sir. Good evening.
Good evening. As Nikhil and even Sudhir mentioned, the delay on the K-12 completion was a little unanticipated. It was all to do with their regulatory work. But what we want certainly emphasize is that the intent is to ensure that one gets to a successful closure, as stated right in the beginning by me in the opening remarks. We want to release that because that's a very valuable capital which can be redeployed into our core businesses that are in need of cash.
Sure, definitely, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all our participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Yeah, this is Satya. Thank you very much. If there is any other follow-up query, please feel free to write to any of us. Also, I would take this opportunity to extend an invitation to any one of you. If you're traveling to Delhi, you would want to get to a little bit more details of understanding the business, you are most welcome to mail us, and our team from 4S or from our office will be very happy to coordinate. My numbers and email. We look forward to face-to-face conversations as we move along. Thank you very much. Thanks, Sudhir, Nikhil, Lokesh, GP. I'll take this opportunity to thank you all formally. And call for the closure of the session, if that's okay.
Thank you. On behalf of 4S Services, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.